50 years after the violent and triumphant Freedom Summer campaign, activists look back and look forward. And we'll check out art and activism with new documentaries on the big screen and an interview with vocalist Navasha Deya coming up next. And welcome to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition, where we lift up voices of social justice and activism here in the nation's capital. I'm Esther Ivarum. A shout-out and thanks to Etan Thomas and Dave Zirin of The Collision for their show, and also thank you for staying with us. Well, 50 years after the summer of 1964, when swarms of volunteers went through Mississippi to break the chokehold of segregation and to register black voters, there are calls for a new Freedom Summer to advocate for voting rights that are being stripped away in Republican-held states. High school students from Mississippi, that most violent and bloody battlefield of the civil rights movement, are here in the nation's capital to talk about how they are connecting to their community's legacy of resistance. And in culture and media, Stanley Nelson's new documentary titled Freedom Summer, also taking aim at the Koch brothers, and a conversation with innovative vocalist Navasha Deya. We have a jam-packed show, including taking your calls at the bottom of the hour on the movement for social justice 50 years ago and today. But before we get to all that, at the top of the news, hundreds are preparing to gather in Jackson, Mississippi next week for Freedom 50 to commemorate the months of 1964 that changed America and impacted the world. Those gathering will also ignite a call to action on the same four issues of Freedom Summer, including voting rights, quality public education for all children, workers' rights, and access to affordable health care. The week-long international conference at Tougaloo College will feature work sessions that examine each of these human rights issues and the present-day struggle for justice, not only in Mississippi, but globally. To learn more about Freedom 50 and other events marking the anniversary of Freedom Summer, please visit freedom50.org. Well, for the rest of our head of the top of the show, we're going to look at the resurgent Moral Mondays movement, which is certainly inspired by the legacy of the civil rights movement in North Carolina. Fast food workers were arrested along with community and faith allies this week as the Fight for 15 in North Carolina joined forces with the growing weekly direct action. Armed with signs and banners that read Jobs and Freedom, the Moral Monday supporters marched, chanted, and sang spirituals, disrupting the business of the legislature and leading to the arrests of some participants. Here are sounds from the protests and arrests from this week's Moral Monday's action just down the road, just down 95 in Raleigh, North Carolina.
What side are you on, my people? What side are you on?
We on the freedom side.
What side are you on, my people? What side are you on?
We on the freedom side.
What side are you on, my people? What side are you on?
We on the freedom side.
What side are you on, my people? What side are you on?
We on the freedom side.
Ella Baker was a freedom fighter and she taught us how to fight. So we gon' fight all day and night until we get it right. What side
are you on, my people? What side are you on?
Uh-huh.
What side are you on, my people? What side are you on? We on the freedom side.
Fall together!
Tax policies.
We want
earned
income tax credits.
Earned income
The clergy's going to pray. I'm going to the third floor, and I'll leave it in order.
Immediately, you're violating Judge Hamilton's order, and if you do not, we'll place you under arrest.
Do I have to? I'm here, my lawyer. I don't have to leave the facility. I have to leave the second floor, and I came because I was asked to come and help. You asked me all last year to come on the second floor, even when I hadn't been tried. You requested that.
Yes.
You requested that.
He's leaving, Lieutenant Brock.
So God, we lift up our prayer for those in greatest need among us.
To get your,
it's probably good that you remove me because you got to deal with more than me.
Yeah. We lift up all those in our state, God, who are seeking just and equal treatment before the law.
How can you leave?
Oh, I'm just going out here to talk to my lawyer because what they're trying to say is that the order says that I can't be on the second floor. Even though they asked me to come on the second floor to help with the, you know, with the crowd. But they think that people are, it's just me. But it's not just about me, you hear the people.
It's all ours. This is all ours. These corporations make money out of the back of workers.
That's right.
My father died when I was 6 years old. I grew up on Social Security. I ain't free lunch in school,
not
public school.
And Lieutenant Ross, General Liberty Police, I'm advising you to endure or in violation of a lawful order.
You workers are here to give voice to a long list of injustices. And we are here to say that no matter what kind of rules this legislature invents, they cannot silence us. No matter how far they try to run from the Capitol on Mondays, they cannot hide from the truth we speak. Yeah. And this is that truth.
First, not only do 18% of North Carolinians live in poverty, but despite all the happy talk, over a third of our families don't make a living wage. And they are disproportionately Black, Latino, and Native American. And they know that you cannot survive on 725.
En Carolina del Norte hay madres y padres solteros como yo. Apenas estamos trabajando para sobrevivir.
I don't need to have you passing bills that attack my family and myself. Like refusing to expand Medicaid and eliminating EITC on top of everything else I have to go through.
They have not repented for their sins, repealed their destructive policies, or restored our state to greatness, brothers and sisters.
We can't survive on 725.
I'm Lieutenant Martin Brock, Yellowstone Police Department. I've asked you to leave the facility. If you don't leave the facility, now I'm telling you that I'm going to place you on arrest. Do you understand?
Yep, I understand.
We're not leaving.
Nope.
Please leave.
Sorry, not going to do it.
We must take action, and union people know what to do. We don't mourn, brothers and sisters. We organize, organize, and organize some more.
Cited by OSHA for countless serious safety violations. Now they are violating our rights under federal law to form a union.
The heavenly North Carolina doesn't have tax policies like we've got. It's not a state where 80% of the people are given a tax raise while the richest are given a tax cut.
Every day in the classroom, we fight for our students' whole selves. So it is only natural that we do the same out here.
Women know it's impossible to have equal rights without access to health care, fighting poverty and racism, without good education and jobs and voting rights.
We have come to Raleigh today to say to our legislators that the laws and the policies that you have enacted and that you are enacted are wrong, morally wrong, and they need to be repealed.
Yeah. Forward together
is our battle cry.
Forward together
is our motto.
Is our motto.
marching order.
It's our marching
order. Forward together.
Forward together.
Is our anthem.
Is our anthem.
Forward together.
Forward together.
Is our demand.
Is our demand.
Forward together.
Forward together.
Is our hope.
Is our hope.
For the future.
For the future.
And
we
will not.
Those were Sunday's Voices of Protest and Arrest from this week's Moral Monday's action just down the road in Raleigh, North Carolina. Included was the Reverend William Barber, a key organizer for Moral Mondays. The North Carolina legislature is making matters even worse for state residents, eliminating the earned income tax credit, opposing the expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare, and refusing to increase the minimum wage. When we come back, high school students from Mississippi, that most violent battlefield of what was called Freedom Summer, are here in the nation's capital to talk about how the next generation is engaged in social activism. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition. I'm Esther Averam, and I'm joined in the studio by four students from Macomb, Mississippi, who are here in Washington, D.C., connecting with what here in the nation's capital connects with their work that they've been doing as part of the Macomb Legacies Project, which documents the history of resistance to Jim Crow segregation and the denial of voting rights. I have Damian Jordan, Courtney Coney, Rakisha Carter, and Virshunda Coleman. Welcome. Welcome to WPFW and DC. And even though I know this is the end of your trip.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. All right. Don't be shy. Yeah. All right. Let me start with you, Virshunda. I know that this group made a few documentaries about your community. That's about a walkout, a student walkout, the voting rights struggle in Macomb, and also Freedom Schools. Why do you think it's important to tell the history of your community?
It's important to tell the history to our local community and, you know, the state and national-wide, because if you know your history, you're not bound to repeat it.
Right. And Virshunda, what about the Freedom Schools? Is there anything particular about the schools that kind of, you know, resonate for you?
Well, I'll say that we did a freedom school during the summertime, and then it came up that our school had been a failing school, and with us being a predominantly black school, and Freedom Schools took part in, were mainly black people. And we seen how much they fought for their education, and we seen that black people were taking it for advantage again, and we wanted to bring more awareness to it,
right,
that we don't want to go back to that, and right, we need to understand what we have and take advantage of it.
Right. Now, I know a big part of the Freedom 50 events is stressing voting rights, and all across the South, there are all kinds of laws being passed in terms of, that seem to restrict voting by African Americans. You know, what did you find in terms of your research? Did you find things in terms of your research that let you know what had been done in Macomb to fight for voting rights?
Yes, we did. We found out that they all gathered together, the people that weren't able to vote, mainly African Americans, and they formed groups, and like they had seminars, like the Freedom Schools, they were taught how to vote there. They were not only taught how to vote, though, they were taught how to live in life, and SNCC was in Macomb, and they registered people. It was people, white people, trying to help people, black people, vote.
Right. Now, I'm hearing that buzzing. But so Damian, when we were outside getting ready for the show, I know that we talked about how maybe segregation is over now, but there are other issues that impact, you know, black people in general, but especially your generation. Did you want to speak to that in terms of Do you want to speak to that?
While segregation is over, there's still like institutional segregation, like within schools. Like in one county, there could be three public schools and one private school, and this one private school could be like all white with maybe two or three blacks to be funded by the government. And with the other public schools, it could be like one that's full of blacks, one that's more diverse, and the other one that has a lot of blacks there.
Right, right. So kind of de facto segregation, even though it's not official, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I do know that, you know, you gained a lot from doing the documentaries. Do you want to speak to that, Rakisha? You know, what you've gained from working on the documentaries?
Well, working with the documentaries and presenting them to a lot of places, you can't be shy. So with that, I've came out of my shell a lot. I used to be shy, and now I'm not shy. And working with documentaries, because I was in digital media, I've learned a lot about what I want to be in life. And not only that, I learned a lot of history about my town that I didn't know. Like, when you're growing up in a small town, you don't think there's history there, but there's more history there that I could even fathom. And with knowing that, it just made me want to do it over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess that's what I got from documentaries, because with documentaries, it's more than just telling somebody, because you have something to show them, and people are more willing to look at something that you can show than listen to what you have to say.
Now, I know that you've graduated, so congratulations. You're the graduate of this group. Everyone else is a rising senior. And I know that for a lot of young people, the issue of the cost of education, to try to get a college education, is a really big issue, because so many people wind up in debt if they can go. Do you see any, kind of connection between kind of today's issues around education and student loans, and basically the fight that was made so long ago for just an access to education?
Well, yes, because fighting for education was hard, and then now that it's cost so much money, it's kind of a way of still trying to keep people that's in poverty down, because it costs so much to go to college.
Right.
So, I mean, you're smart people, they can get scholarships, but if you don't have smarts and you don't have the money, what you gonna do then?
Right.
You know,
training. Right. Okay. Did you all? I know. Where you all? You're in a larger group from Macomb, and some of the group participated in a flash mob out in front of the Supreme Court. And it was the anniversary of the Supreme Court gutting the Voting Rights Act, which they did, I think, just last year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a little sound from that flash mob.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a flash mob, and a lot of the students visiting from Mississippi participated in that on Sunday out in front of the Supreme Court on the anniversary of the Supreme Court, you know, basically gutting the Civil Rights Act, you know, which so many people fought for and died for 50 years ago in places like Mississippi. I've been speaking with Damian Jordan, Courtney Coney, Rakisha Carter, and Rashonda Coleman of the McCombs Legacy Project. They're visiting here from Macomb, Mississippi, and you can learn a lot more about their work at macomblegacies.org. Their videos that they worked on are up there, the documentaries about the town and the legacy of resistance to Jim Crow and to the denial of voting rights. And so some of you may be going down to Freedom 50, right? Well, you hope to.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, so that's up next for you. That's all very exciting. So you're going from here, or you might be going to that. And, you know, I just, best of luck to you. And thank you so much for coming this morning and sharing your words. And, you know, we shared the flash mob. And did you like D.C.? I saw some pictures of some people taking pictures down at the King Memorial, and, you know, that was great. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We'll be right back in a minute with Art and Activism with Navasha Deya and the Freedom Summer on the big screen. We'll be right back. You are just listening to vocalist Navasha Deya, who will be a guest artist with the Washington Renaissance Orchestra, including Nasser Abadie and Alan Johnson at the Lincoln Theater tomorrow night. And Navasha is joining me on the line from Baltimore. Thank you for taking the time to join us on the ground today, Navasha.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm having a little sound in my headphone, but you know, I really wanted to talk to you about, you know, the fact that you are a committed cultural activist, and you know, you've taught and you've mentored many children, youth and young adults, and so I wanted to start with that. You know, tell me what it means to you to be a cultural arts activist.
Well, you know, traditionally artists were the healers of the community. We were the ones that brought focus and noticed what's happening in a culture. And you can see the development and growth and prosperity of a culture that based upon the artists, whether it be visual, musical, performing. And so for me, that's how I was raised, by my parents, to be aware of what's going on in the world, including the things that were happening in South Africa. For me, as an artist, it's very important to me to give back to young people, to mentor young people, and to share with them the roots of the culture of the arts. So, for instance, I'm in a lot of conversations and meetings with foundations and things. They'll say, oh, cultural institutions. So my question is, what culture are you speaking about? And a lot of times it's European culture. So it's very important to me that our youth, specifically Black youth and youth of color, understand their culture and understand where they come from so they can have a chance in this world to understand, you know, to be prosperous and to be confident as they do their work in the earth. So I take that very seriously. I'm actually meeting right now with my husband, who's the executive director of our organization, the Youth Resilience Institute, and two youth, as we're going to have an event that we commemorate the Soweto, 1976 Soweto Youth Uprising. This is the 38th year and of that anniversary. And the anniversary was a couple of days ago, but we're commemorating it next Tuesday. So we're actually meeting with them because we're going to have a Google chat with a South African youth, a youth that's here in America that's a refugee from Togo, and one of our youth from Cherry Hill Public Cherry Hill, which is a community that's very isolated in Baltimore. So I'm actually leaving that meeting right now with them as we have breakfast together to speak about the events, to talk to you guys. So that's the kind of work that I do as an artist, not just singing and performing, but I also organize and work with youth to make sure they are continuing the legacy of the greats that have come before us.
All right, now, tomorrow's concert is dedicated to African American History Month. And so what is the significance of celebrating that to you? So many black vocalists are either singing in this kind of homogenized auto-tune, or, you know, there are artists like Pharrell of the Happy Song fame. He's talking about being post-black, or I think he calls it being the new black. I don't know what that means.
But what
does African-American, I guess that's in line with what you've just been talking about in terms of, you know, is there something additional you want to say about African-American History Month, Music Month?
I think any time we honor our people, it's good. We have, you know, Black History Month. Now we have African-American Music Month. And I think that because of how society is set up now with short attention spans and media and social media and all these kind of things, we actually now have to have things that commemorate things in order to remember. A lot of young people, they need that, and a lot of even adults now. And so I think it's very powerful and positive to have for us to perform and honor those who have gone before us in music, because we have created the soundtrack of America and actually the world. We're very influential around the world. So the African-American culture, even though the existence of how we've come here has been interesting, what we have done as a new race actually has really changed the world. Our music influences the world. Our things that we have created, from jazz, blues, to hip-hop, to the jazz, the different styles of jazz that have come out of the African-American experience. So I feel very honored to be on the stage with these wonderful musicians, some elders, some of my peers by age. And we're going to honor really great, wonderful composers that day, as well as some of us who have composed ourselves. And really, you know, just honor. I think, you know, you have to have times where you honor those of them before you, and you honor and mark things. And so this tomorrow will be an honoring of those great musicians who paved the way for a lot of us who are doing this music now.
You know, this concert is actually occurring as the 50th anniversary of the Freedom Summer is actually being celebrated, when so many young volunteers were met with deadly force. People were murdered fighting basically brutal totalitarianism, you know, in the South, you know. And I just learned that in preparing for the show that Gil Scott-Heron is your cousin, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, coming from that kind of, you know, legacy, really, of being outspoken and having a consciousness in your music, do you have any particular thoughts on the Freedom 50 anniversary marking the 1964?
Actually, you know, I'm trying to move around. I'm outside. Sorry, listening audience. Anytime we acknowledge and bring light to different issues that have come, it's very important. So us performing on the anniversary, the 50th anniversary, is very significant as well in regards to just people actually having to fight and get killed for basic human rights. I think it's very crazy and interesting that we have to fight. But it's about money, it's about resources, and I don't think that fight is going to ever be over because of just the demonic forces on the earth. So I feel, you know, once again, honored again to just be performing around that time and just bring light to all these situations, because we're very, very complacent now, the society, our culture. If you go to other cultures, their news is the BBC. In America, it's your local news. And so we need as many opportunities as possible to shed light on what has happened and the issues that are happening today.
Okay. I've been speaking with vocalist Navasha Day, who will be a guest artist with the Washington Renaissance Orchestra at the Lincoln Theater tomorrow night. Thank you, Navasha, for taking the time to join us on the ground today.
Oh, of course. Thank you. I hope to see you guys there.
Yes, I will be there. I will be there. I don't know if you'll see me in the crowd, but I'll be there.
All right. Great. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, also opening this weekend, Citizen Coke opens at the West End Cinema. And this is a documentary written by Carl Diehl, written and directed by Carl Diehl and Tia Lesson. And this is an expose on the state of American democracy and the fracturing of the Republican Party. Citizen Coke investigates the money behind the Tea Party and traces the impact of unlimited election spending by corporations and billionaires. And this is certainly apropos apropos and related to what we're talking about today in terms of voting rights. So we're not only dealing with these laws passed by state legislators, but the fact that people like the Koch brothers are funding this type of legislation, funding, you know, the ID laws. And so this documentary, Citizen Koch, investigates this, and it's very powerful portrait of our what's happening politically and in our country. So we actually have 10 pairs of tickets that we can give to Citizen Koch. It's going to be at the West End Cinema here in D.C. And if you call 202-588-0893, our engineer, Mike, will take your call. We're going to take the first 10 callers for the tickets. And as we go throughout the show today. And the other documentary I want you to know about is Freedom Summer by Stanley Nelson. You know, he's brought us so many, like, excellent and provocative documentaries. And that film will be at the AFI Silver Docs, or I think it's just now AFI Docs, Documentary Festival in Silver Spring this Sunday. And that festival started yesterday, and it will be going through Monday, I believe. And Freedom Summer by Stanley Nelson is one of the films that will be showing at that time on Sunday at that festival. And also, Freedom Summer by Stanley Nelson will be premiering on PBS this coming Tuesday evening, and you should check your local listings for your station to check out Freedom Summer by Stanley Nelson. Okay, when we come back, it's your turn. You can call 202-588-0893 to comment on the Movement for Social Justice 50 years ago and today. That's 202-588-0893, and we'll be back in a minute. And hands are clapping. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition, where we lift up voices of social justice and activism. During the first half of the show, we talked about the Freedom 50th movement underway to commemorate the Freedom Summer campaign of 1964, as well as to look forward to how that experience can be applied to today. Now it's your turn. 202-588-0893 is the number to call to comment on any of these issues. Continuing with me in the studios, Damian Jordan, Courtney Coney, Rakisha Carter, and Vershunda Coleman, visiting from Macomb, Mississippi. And, you know, they'll stay with me for a little while here. All four in high school, rising seniors, except for Rakisha, who just graduated and will go on to college. They've all been involved with the Macomb Legacies Project for 3 years. They've done documentaries about their town and its legacy of resistance against segregation and Jim Crow. So we have a few callers. We have actually the lines are lit up, so let's go to our first caller. Just say your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, Hotep to you and your guests in the PFW listening audience. This is Tihudi Ani Patahotep, and we're talking about voting registration then and now. And the fact of the matter is that voting in a system that is corrupt as it was then, now is would be a act of almost insanity, because today the whole political system is so corrupt, and the only candidates that we have available to us are those from the same people that have lied to us over the years, and things have gotten worse and not better in this voting system. So we should be thinking about doing things by ourselves, setting up our own parties of voting groups, and we should be setting up our own systems of survival and forget about that whole concept of integration and trying to get justice from a people that have no justice for us but want to continue us to have false hopes in a political situation that is only going to turn around and make things worse for us.
Okay.
So let's do for self.
Okay. All right. So Tahuti says, forget about this voting stuff. You know, that it's all corrupt and it's not worth our time and energy to secure our voting rights and to have them firmly in hand. 202-588-0893 is the number to call to weigh in. Do you agree or disagree with that? We're talking about the movement for justice and equality 50 years ago and today. Voting rights and segregation, totalitarianism really under the Jim Crow system. So what do you have to say? 202-588-0893. Caller, you're next. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Tesfa, calling from Arlington. Good morning, my sister.
Good morning, Tesfa.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere might be a political theory, but it is a fact of life. The right-wingers here in USA, the extreme right-wingers who try to restrict voting rights, are also a threat to the rest of the world. Let me give you an example. The extreme right-wingers are also working with dictators everywhere, like in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a dictatorship. The dictators in Ethiopia perpetrate genocide and ethnic cleansing, and the extreme right-wingers here in USA are working hand-in-hand with the dictators in Ethiopia. And I can cite examples. Jim Inhofe, Dick Armey, and the rest of them give us racist insults when we protest against the dictators in Ethiopia. This is what we are facing.
Oh, okay.
You see?
Yes.
They are a threat to the rest of the world, too.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tesfa. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. We're talking about Freedom Summer 50 years ago and today, there are some people who say we need a new Freedom Summer. This summer, as voting rights are being restricted across not only the South, but in states across the country. And there are lots of laws like, you know, stand your ground and all these other types of laws that are really draconian laws for restricting people's liberty and even, you know, taking away their lives. So 202-588-0893 is the number to call to weigh on the issue of the movement, you know, for freedom and equality 50 years ago and today. 202-588-0893. And I think we have another caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Carolyn, and thank you for taking my call. I actually am a Unitarian that goes to the services that the Sunday that just the musicians that participated in the flash mob.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I'm also proud to say that I'm also cousin of the former President Kennedy. And a couple of pieces I wanted to share is that there's actually some new current bills that are in Congress right now to do amendments to the Voting Rights Act. There's actually a public hearing meeting that's open for the Senate Committee on the Judiciary June 25th at 10 a.m. They're looking at making some changes to those Voting Rights Act to make sure states are held more accountable. And one piece that I would just share as an anthropologist and somebody who believes very deeply in cultural issues is I noticed in the writing that they've changed the cultural categories. Traditionally, when you look at whether it is the census, you see African-American listed, Hispanic, American Indian, white, you see Pacific Islander, you see those categories. And I believe that is in following the, you know, the rules of the census. And I myself am an educator and a teacher, so I believe in good standards in writing. They've actually changed in this current bill the categories to say Hispanic is one category, the second category is two races, and the third category is other. And I really think that that needs people to speak out, because if we want to promote diversity as well as just promote the importance of global cultural connections, I think that, that piece is very important. They're having a meeting. There's two amendments. It's either Senate 1945, I believe, and there's another bill, H.R. 3899, that is in the process of getting written. So if we want to look at we got to make the changes as it's getting written in the bill stage.
Do you have a website that people can go to get more information to keep track of this legislation that you're referring to?
The legislation, well, thank you for, you know, I'm actually a writer, and I take very, thank you for asking me that. You'd want to go, it's the Senate Committee on the Judiciary. The next meeting, which is open to the public, is June 25th, 10 a.m. It is an amendment to the Voting Rights Act. They're currently meeting on it now. If you do a Google search, it will pull it up. It's S-1945. And the other one that is an amendment, there's basically two draft writings. The other one is H.R. 3899.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. We are taking calls at 202-588-0893. We're going to go to a brief break, and then we'll be back with your calls.
Hi, I'm Latifa, and this is your WPFW Social Justice Calendar for the Washington metro area. Friday, June 20th, the African Diaspora Ancestral Commemoration Institute presents Restoration and Renewal of Memory Discussion and Riverwalk, the 22nd annual commemoration for the millions who perished during slavery. 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Sankofa Video Books and Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest, D.C. Admission is free. For more information, call 202-558-2187 or visit adaci.net. Also Friday, June 20th, the United Black Community presents African Spirituality and Liberation, featuring a screening of Ancestral Voices, Esoteric African Knowledge, a film exploring the significance of traditional African spiritual systems in today's world, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Umoja House, 2015 Bunker Hill Road, Northeast, D.C. Admission is free. For more information, call 202-529-4039 or visit unitedblackcommunity.com. If you'd like your event included in the social justice calendar, send a plain text email 2 weeks in advance to socialjusticewpfw@ips-dc.org with the event title and date in the subject line and no attachments. The Social Justice Calendar is a public service brought to you by the Institute for Policy Studies in partnership with WPFW, your station for jazz and justice.
And welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition, where we lift up voices of social justice and activism. During the first half of the show, it was all about the Freedom 50th movement underway to commemorate the Freedom Summer Campaign of 1964, as well as to look forward to how that experience can be applied to today. Now we're taking your calls. We've had several, and our lines are filled up. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. We'll go to our next caller. Caller, just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Hello, I'm Al Kumar. I'm calling from Bowie, Maryland. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. I'm calling. I actually agree with the gentleman about two callers ago who mentioned that it is this time for Black people to begin to at least consider the notion of doing for ourselves. I'm actually reading one of Claude Anderson's books, Black Labor, White Wealth, and he goes into the benefits or lack thereof of our votes to right. I mean, our right to vote in this country. And he just explained, like, for instance, back in the 60s, we had 100 black elected officials in government. And now, as of 1992, we have over 8,000. However, the unemployment rate, the black prison population, the poverty line, you name it, across the board, have increased tenfold for black people. So what does that say? I mean, we have 8,000 black officials in office, but our situation is gone from bad to worse.
Okay.
So it basically, we can't, voting alone is not going to solve the issue.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I don't think that, you know, when we have these discussions periodically about voting, I don't think that anybody who, you know, works seriously in a progressive community or thinks that voting by itself is the be-all, end-all solution. And I don't think they view it as something separate from doing for ourselves. You know, I think that it's one tool in the toolbox, and it's something that we have a right to, that we should be able to take advantage of, and we shouldn't allow anyone to take it away from us. Because if we're kind of complacent about the fact that our voting rights are being taken away, what's going to be taken away next? So I appreciate your call, and I understand that whole perspective, but I don't think that anyone who is talking about voting rights is thinking that it's the end all be all. We found that out by electing President Obama, right?
Sure.
So but I thank you for your call and for weighing in and call again, okay?
Thank you for your time.
Okay. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. I'll go to the next call. Just say your first name and where you're calling from. Oh, okay. All right. So we are talking about the Freedom Summer movement, this Freedom Summer campaign 50 years ago and today. And there are some people who say we need a new Freedom Summer movement. And we need a new movement around basic, you know, human rights, including the right to vote. And we had some young people here today visiting from Mississippi. They were wonderful. And so now it's your turn. 202-588-0893. We're going to go to our next caller. Just say your name, first name, and where you're calling from.
First name, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
We the people have not sent a message. We are just doing a lot of talking, and we're not doing anything else. We can have all the meetings in the world that we need to have and discussions, but we're not doing anything. And what we need to do is shut something down. And I say the first thing we shut down is Walmart. Walmart gives to the very, very organizations and think tanks that create these laws. Walmart gives to ALEC. ALEC was very influential on creating the Stand Your Ground law. As far as I'm concerned, Walmart bought a bullet to kill Trayvon Martin. Walmart sells ammunition more than anything. The clothing they sell, you buy a shirt for $6 at Walmart, they bought it for a quarter. They paid the person over in India to make it, they paid them 5 cents. And we think we've got a deal. We need to shut Walmart down to send a message to all the corporations. And then we need to stop buying gas, find a way to step out of your comfort zone, and let's do it.
All right. And thank you, Mary, for calling. Always providing a provocative perspective and always, taking Walmart to task. I love that. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. We're talking about the Freedom Summer Movement 50 years ago and today, and taking your calls about what is needed, what is still needed. Some people say that we need another Freedom Summer Movement to address voting rights as well as human rights here in the United States and spread that energy, of course, around the world. 202-588-0893. And we also still have, in the next couple of minutes, I think we still have a few pairs of tickets for Citizen Coke. That's the new documentary that basically exposes the Koch brothers and their funneling of money to right-wing causes like Stand Your Ground, like these various voter restriction laws that have cropped up in states around the country. So we still have a couple of pairs of tickets left. If you call 202-588-0893, we'll take your name. And what you do, you go to the West End Cinema here in Washington, D.C., and you present your name, and your name will be on the list to see the movie, I believe, Monday through Thursday. And you can go see it any time during that time. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. And so we are winding down. And I want to thank, all my guests today, Navasha Deya, the students from Mississippi, Macomb, up visiting here in D.C. And a special thanks to Mike Nasella on the board, our awesome engineer. And thank you, all those who called and listened today. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org. I'm very excited. We have all the shows up archived on the site now. So if you go to onthegroundshow.org, you'll see all the shows from the past month when we premiered on May 1st, on May Day. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at On The Ground Show. Stay tuned now for Chris the Property, and don't forget the blues. And later, Eugene DeWitt Kinlow with DC Politics Hour and the Empower Hour with Deshuna Spencer. I think that's it for us. Peace.
Listening to the just completed Public Affairs or News program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.
This is WPFW News. I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines at the noon hour. The Supreme Court ruled today that the First Amendment protects public employees from job retaliation when they testify in court about official corruption. In a unanimous decision, the court decided in favor of Edward Lane, a former Alabama Community College official who says he was fired after testifying at the criminal fraud trial of a state lawmaker. Lower courts had ruled against Lane, finding that he was testifying as a college employee, not as a citizen. But writing for the court, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said Lane's testimony was constitutionally protected because he was speaking as a citizen on a matter of public concern, even if it covered facts learned at work. The Obama administration has reportedly conditioned military intervention in Iraq on the resignation of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Iraqi and U.S. officials said Wednesday Maliki's government has asked the Obama administration to launch airstrikes on Sunni militants. According to a report in the Independent of London, the Obama administration has told senior Iraqi officials that it would intervene militarily only if Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki leaves office. Maliki, who is Shiite, has been widely criticized for deepening Iraq's sectarian divide. But speaking earlier today, a spokesperson for Maliki rejected calls for his resignation. Meanwhile, in Washington, President Obama hosted top lawmakers to discuss whether he would need congressional approval for any military strikes in Iraq. Florida has executed a death row prisoner convicted of killing his wife and young son nearly 30 years ago. John Henry was the third prisoner to be put to death in the United States this week, following executions in Missouri and Georgia. They are the nation's first executions since Oklahoma's botched killing in April. The Oklahoma prisoner, Clayton Lockett, withheld, writhed and groaned on the gurney before dying of a heart attack 43 minutes after his lethal injection. Several executions were delayed or stayed in the aftermath of Lockett's death, with defense attorneys citing the threat of similar suffering. Representative Kevin McCarthy seems likely to inherit defeated Representative Eric Cantor's number two House Republican leadership job, but GOP restiveness, along with ideological and regional lines, is on full display in a wide-open race for the party's next ranking post of Majority Whip. McCarthy, a Republican of California, who has climbed quickly since arriving in Congress in 2007, seemed likely to become Majority Leader when House Republican lawmakers meet privately today to elect their leadership lineup for the rest of this year. Thousands of homes in the D.C. metro area are without power today following Wednesday's severe thunderstorms. The damage from the storms caused blown transformers, downed power lines, and road closures across the region. In Fairfax County, a family escaped unharmed after an uprooted tree fell on their home. A couple of strong thunderstorms are forecast for this afternoon. Partly cloudy with a thunderstorm tonight, low 71. Currently, it's cloudy and 85 degrees, and you might feel a droplet in a sprinkle. Don't forget the blues. Stay tuned for Chris DeProperty. She'll play the blues for you. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington.
All public broadcast stations receiving funds from the corporation.